You know, before services started, I thought I might try to say something smart. But after all those prayers, I just think I'll say something stupid. I've been thinking a lot about the song Blessed Assurance. And blessed assurances are basically the promises of God. And you know, you think about some of the promises of God. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It's a blessed assurance. I'll take it. His seed shall be more than the sands of the seashore or the stars of heaven. I'll take it. How many things in the scripture do we want to take readily? We start talking about chastisement. We start talking about praying for our enemies and blessing those that despitefully use us. We might have a little trouble taking it. Here in the first chapter of Hebrew, it said, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, who by whom also he made the worlds. Now this is what I want to look at. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now the first time we see the word image in the scripture is in Genesis. Yeah. Let us make man in our own image. Was he talking flesh and blood and hands and fingers? He was talking about spirit. So I want to know more about this Holy Ghost. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to know more about the image of God. You know, what does the scripture teach us concerning these things? In one place it says in John 14 that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus said concerning the Comforter, he said, I go away that I prepare a place for you, but my Father shall send you a Comforter. Have you ever had that Comforter? Yes, I think we had a little of that Comforter just a few minutes ago. Amen. You know, it says in Luke, he says, we can ask for the Holy Ghost and he'll give it to us. How often do we really ask for the Holy Ghost? How important to us is it? Do we know anything about it? You know, the Holy Ghost is so important to the kingdom.
Yes, he is.
I mean, he says here, in this he keeps going, and he says, upholding all things by the word of his power, he hath purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as by an inheritance he attained a more excellent name. And he goes on and he tells us about a kingdom and a scepter. You know, there's a scepter out there. You know the story about Esther, that's it. She said, I can't go to the king unless the king's scepter is extended. Mordecai said, you better figure out a way to get there. He said, because God's going to deliver his people. What's going to happen to you? That's what he said to her. Think about it. You want to know what being a Primitive Baptist is? I don't know. I don't have a clue anymore better than you do. But I know this. The Lord's scepter is extended to you. He says over in Matthew, he says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter. He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he goes on down a little further and he says, I give to thee the keys to the kingdom. Now, we can disagree on this. Everybody's got a right to be wrong, both sides. A lot of people believe the church is the kingdom. The problem with that is the kingdom's not described in the same way the church is described.
That's right.
The kingdom is spiritually perfect.
Right.
You have to be in a spiritual state manifesting the Holy Ghost to enter into the kingdom.
Amen.
You have to be lifted up. You have to be raised up. You know, he just told us this morning about how many things God does. God even raises us up in the spirit to worship God.
Amen.
Because in the flesh we can't worship God because we're sinners.
Amen.
We couldn't be Adam and walk and talk with him and in the cool of the evening talk about the glories of the Lord. We can't do that in the flesh. Adam couldn't do it either. You know, do you notice after that Adam is cast out, it isn't Adam that's talking to God. It's the woman. You see that? Adam just kind of there. Everything that happened. Could you imagine Adam? Could you imagine when Cain come and finally admitted he killed Abel? It was more Adam's fault than it was Cain's. Because Adam brought sin into the world. Could you imagine Adam looking at his slain son and knowing it was his own fault? Can you imagine God looking down from heaven upon a cross and there's his son? What did his son tell Pharaoh or Pilate? He told Pilate, he said, you don't have any power over me. That my father gave you this power.
Amen.
You see a picture of a slain son because of sin and a slain son because of eternal life. No wonder he obtained a more excellent name than the angels. No wonder he's the only begotten of the Father. No wonder he's the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. But you know, it don't quit there. Do you know you're to bear the image of God? You're to bear about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to bear his image. How do you do that? Well, a good way is to imitate him. He forgave his enemies. He forgave those that despitefully used him. All those that were there. You know, can you imagine when Peter's up there preaching and he said, you took the Lord of glory and you nailed him on a cross. And they were cut. I mean, they were cut. What are we going to do? Boy, I like that answer. I'll take it. Repent and be baptized. Repent. You know, it says there is glory in the heaven from the repentance of one sinner. One sinner. We need repentance. We need sacrifice. We have the great example. You know, I love the scripture where it says that he came up out of the water full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Lord, fill me. We sing a song, fill me, fill me, fill me, Lord, fill me. With what? The Holy Ghost. And he was led away by the Spirit. And where'd he go? He went to battle, didn't he? He went to meet the one. Blessed assurance, Jesus of mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. You know, we talk a lot about washed in his blood. We like that. We'll take that every day. But how about born of his Spirit? Born of his Spirit. There's something for us to do when we're born of his Spirit. We're supposed to walk in his Spirit. He said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Boy, it's bad for you. No, it's not. It's exactly the opposite. It's glorious. It's holy. It's righteousness. It's heaven itself. Walking in the Spirit of living God. You want to know what advantage you have? You know, they asked that question back at Rome. They said, what advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? He said, much. Why? Because God's talking to him. God's giving them stuff. God's helping them. There ain't a people on the world right now that's been more helped and more given revelation than you. And I tell you how I know that. Because ain't nobody telling the things you tell. I mean, somebody asked me, what's a primitive Baptist belief? They're an unconditionalist is what they are. It's about God. It's not about them. It's not what they're going to do or what they have done or anything they can do. It's all about Jesus. You know, maybe we ought to get a big sign out there that says, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All about Jesus. You know, it was quoted this morning in that 11th chapter of Romans, that last verse. To Him and through Him and of Him, all glory forever. You know, the world really believes, and I'm not picking on the world, this is what the world believes. They believe Adam made a mistake and God had to send Jesus to fix it. You don't believe that, do you? God loved you before Adam. God loved you in Adam. And God loved you in spite of Adam. That's what God did. Don't matter what Adam did. But it really mattered what Jesus did. That's our hope. I hate to use this word in front of Brother Don over there, but visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Maybe that ain't the right word, but visions of rapture. You know, it ain't in the Bible, he's right. But what is rapture? Rapture is a raising up.
Yes, that's right.
Have you been raised up today? Have you been lifted up? Have you been let go of certain... You know, if your mind wasn't on what your mind ought to have been on a while ago, I'm sorry. I am. And I've been there. So don't, if you're sitting back there saying, you know, I didn't get a lot out of that. I'm going to tell you something. I probably shouldn't tell you this. I lost fellowship over a prayer meeting. People couldn't handle it. It was glorious.
Amen.
It was wonderful. It was even profitable. Mm-hmm. We lost some fellowship over it. And you know what? I don't want it back.
Amen.
I'm sorry. We need more of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We need less of the traditions. We have traditions of the Father amongst us.
Yes.
We need to let them go.
Say it.
If it ain't Bible, I agree 100%. If it ain't Bible, don't do it. If it is Bible, do it. Do it. He said to his followers there one time, he said, Why do you call me master and doeth not the things I say? I don't know about you, but that kind of hurts me a little bit because I'm an old sinner that don't do what he says. I don't do what he says. I want to. Pray for me. Remember, there's this old sinner. You know, they might say, I'm from Missouri. I'm not from Missouri. I'm not from nowhere. But I can't count. I told him I wanted to be number 9 because I didn't want to preach. Really, I'm nowhere. I come from nowhere. His brother asked me a couple months ago, he said, how in the world did you get ordained where you got ordained? I was different then. I was a Pharisee. I was a legalist. And they liked me. When I quit being a Pharisee and legalist, guess what? They didn't like me so much. You know what? I'd rather be out on my own in this old, old, cool world with one that I trust.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And I tell you what, there ain't nobody that's more worthless than I am. And yet the Lord is so gracious. I hate myself. But I love Him. I love Him. Because He's lifted me up. He's allowed me to be amongst a great people. I see what David said when he said, who is this uncircumcised Pharisee or Philistine that dare defile the armies of the living God? You know, I might pick on the old Baptist, but I'd fight for him.
Amen.
We can fight amongst ourselves, but we don't need nobody else. I want that Holy Ghost. I want to know more about that Holy Ghost. I want to know more how we can be more spiritual. I want to know how we can walk closer to Christ. You know, the only thing that brings me comfort is a man named Peter. He didn't have a lick of sense. He stuck his foot in his mouth every time he turned around. I mean, when the Lord told him that you're going to deny me thrice before morning, I'd have got out of town. I'd have went and hid. Not Peter. He charged right in there. He's a hoot. You know?
Amen, brother.
The Apostle Paul come to him one time. Do you remember this? He beheld him right to his face.
Yeah.
He said, now, wait a minute. You'll eat with the publicans and the sinners when the Jews ain't around. Jews show up. Here, you ever done that? Have you ever done that? I have. It ain't no good. I don't need Paul to show up. The Holy Ghost shows up. You ever get up and preach mad? Lord ain't going to put up with that.
Amen.
I think that's a one and done deal there, I'm pretty sure. I want to tell you a story. I know I need to quit, but I'm going to tell you a story. I went to this association one time years ago, and I showed up on Sunday morning, and some things that happened, you know, they can happen in them kind of meetings. And they turned away one of my close brethren, just rejected him. And I got mad, and I preached mad. I got in the car to go home, and might as well have been the Lord sitting right there next to me. Said, you ever do that again? You're done. Well, you know, not being able to count, 3 years later, I went back to the very same church, and the very same thing happened again, and I got mad again. And the old moderator comes back and said, we're going to put you up to preach. I said, no, you ain't. I ain't dying here.
Amen,
brother. Well, they had this great big old deacon. I mean, there ain't a deacon in here. There ain't nobody in here besides this deacon. He comes over, he puts an arm around me. You know, I'm not that tall, you know. He put his arm around me and he said, don't matter what we did, you gotta do what you gotta do. So I got up the stand, I said, I took that old text over there where it said, with Elisha, they that be for us be more than they be against us.
Amen.
Don't matter what you guys do, I'm sticking close to the Lord today. Because this is not the place to die. See, we need to learn those lessons. If we make mistakes, let's try not to do it again.
Right.
I ain't going to say I never got mad again. I actually did one time refuse to get in the stand. This old boy was taking shots at me, and I'm not the most forgiving person in the world. And I knew if I got in the stand, I was just going to skin him right there in front of everybody. You know what was amazing? I asked people, I said, did you hear what was said? They did not. I was the only one to listen to him. There was a whole congregation there just like this, and I was the only one who heard that sermon. I'm serious. These things happen. God protects his people. He protected that whole congregation. Nobody had one clue what this guy said. I ain't perfect. I've had people come up to me after what things I've said and couldn't wait to get in the car to go home. I want to know more about the Holy Ghost. I want to know more about the Spirit. We're the only ones that can find out. I mean, I shouldn't say that. That's not right. We ought to be able to find out, though. We've been told to ask. We've been told to knock. We've been told to seek. We've been told to search. We've been told to ask. And we've been told to ask. Have you ever asked? Are you happy where you're at, or do you want to go somewhere else? You know what? Nobody knows what heaven's like. You know that, right? We might have a foretaste of glory divine, but we don't know what heaven's going to be like. If we did, I'm afraid we wouldn't stay here. Jesus says, I tell you of earthly things, and discern them not. How can I tell you of heavenly things? And yet, he blesses us with heavenly blessings. Spiritual things in Christ Jesus. Understandings. You know, John summed it up pretty good there at the end of the book. He said, of all the things Jesus did, I suppose that all the things Jesus did were written. The world itself could not contain the books would be written therein. You know, the lunatic in that little song, The Love of God, wrote that last verse. And he said, if the ocean was ink, and every stalk a quill, and the parchment was the sky, you could drain the ocean writing all the things that God did.
Yeah.
All the things that Jesus did.
Right.
All the things that Jesus did. You know, I think there's some things that aren't that hard to find in the scriptures. I'm going to share one more thing with you and I'm going to sit down. I like to read Genesis real slow because I think we miss a lot of things because of the head. But he said he separated the waters which were from above from the waters which were from below, and he put the firmament in the midst of the waters. That means there's waters that surround the firmament.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
He didn't create the earth until day three. He didn't create the sun and moon until day four.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do on day one and two? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. He worked out all the covenants and all the things that were between the Father and the Son. Now go back and read that. Don't try to make it fit with day four. He separated light from darkness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about it. He said, let there be light.
And there was.
Who was that light?
That was Jesus.
That was Jesus.
Yes.
Amen, brother.
He created the heaven and the earth. What was that? That's Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, that's Jesus. We can see Jesus.
Amen.
Made a little lower than the angels for the suffering and death, that he might taste death for all men. Mm-hmm. Do we believe that?
Amen.
Do we believe the 10th chapter of the Roman letter? Can we call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? We can,
yeah.
Because he says we can.
Right, yeah.
It's in red. It'd be all right if it was in black, but it's in red. Jesus says it. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Every day in your life, call upon the name of the Lord.
And you shall be saved.
You shall.
And ask him. Send me a little of that Holy Ghost. Send me a little spirit. Send me a little revelation. Send me a little love. But most of all, Lord, send me some strength.
Amen.
That I might be able to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you call me. He preordained we're supposed to walk in a certain way. And I'm not going to tell you, I fail miserably. I fail miserably. But you know, I had one experience with the Lord. He don't give up on you.
Sure.
He keeps chastising. You know? He'll take you to the highest mountain. And then when you booger up, he'll let you find that low. And you'll be wanting that mountain again. And the longer you're on that mountain, possibly the farther that low is going to be. Think about it. I want you to think one more thing. I know I just keep rambling. Melchizedek. I don't care. You can argue all day long who Melchizedek was, but he was the priest of the Most High God.
Amen.
You know you're the priest of the Most High God. Jesus Christ has made you kings and priests unto the Most High God.
Amen.
Jesus did that. God in a sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets. That's okay, but that ain't near as good as what it is now. Hath in these last days spoken to us, keeps speaking to us, keeps telling us, keeps calling us, come unto me all you labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest, learn of me, take my yoke upon you, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Come!
Yeah.
Come! Come unto the Lord. Call upon his name.